This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. The power structure stands to be shuffled at the Honolulu City Council as Councilmember-elect Tommy Waters is expected to take over for Trevor Ozawa next month once special election results are certified. Ozawa had been in line for the council chairmanship, so it's anyone's guess right now who'll take over that slot. We sat down with Councilmember Kimberly Pine yesterday afternoon to talk about homeless solutions. She told us she's not eyeing the chair slot, but is interested in the mayor's office, which will open up in a year and a half. Pine has proposed that each council district be allotted $2 million to help with the homeless solutions in their area, as she doesn't believe it's one size fits all.
I've been working on the homeless issue for over a decade. I decided as a state legislator to actually get a job at a homeless shelter, U.S. Vets and Kailua, so I could truly understand this population. And so I have been pushing different housing initiatives for a very long time, mental health initiatives, as well as drug addiction initiatives for a very long time. And it's just really time that we think out of the box and find one location where we can move the homeless to, and the state now is calling it a kahale zone. And that idea came from my own community, Twinkle Borge and the Waianae Boat Harbor residents, where they have been watching how the city and the state have handled this issue. The city implemented the sit-lay bills, and as I stated many years ago then, because it's not island-wide, people are just going to be moving from one street to the other. And you can't really move someone out of a place unless you have some place to put them. And so I've been arguing for a very long time that that's important. But more importantly, we are finding that there are certain homeless populations that don't do well in a certain shelter setting. Not that they don't think it's fancy enough for them. It's just that either because their drug addiction issues, their mental health issue, there's certain anxieties that go along in that scenario. And so we are proposing for this kahale zones, basically, where it would be what we consider the city council, a safe zone, no more tent cities, but really a small structured, affordably built housing where communities can be formed or we move entire communities that are already formed. And examples of that is in Waimanalo as well as Waianae, where we help them to purchase the land. We help them to keep their community structure that they have now or improve it, and also allow to have hygiene centers on the spot there, mental health providers, drug addiction providers, and other social workers all in one location. The police are also introducing what they call lift zones, where they choose certain city land, possibly parks that aren't close to homes, where they can triage people into one place. So if they move them from downtown, for example, and they find another location to move everyone to, where they also have those similar services, and that's the police's proposal, but there's no money in the budget for that. So really what this proposal does, it allows every district to come up with their own idea, or possibly we might make some amendments in the budget, and we discussed that yesterday in full council, where area council members can join up together to find a solution. See, every community is different, and so this allows that flexibility.
So wouldn't there be like a problem potentially with coordination with some of the outreach organizations and nonprofits that are servicing, you know, the clientele?
There's always a problem, but there's never been a true will to have a comprehensive homeless plan, and that was in an audit, a city audit that said that the city has no comprehensive plan for homelessness. And so in my committee next week, we are going to be posting a discussion item, saying, okay, so the auditor said this, what are we not doing? What can we do? The homeless providers are very excited to help in any way they can. They just need strong leadership at the very top to say, okay, we are going to give as much city resources as we need to make sure that you're successful. What we've been doing now is just kind of piecemeal things and not really putting everything all into one particular location, well, several locations throughout the island.
So as far as the support from the administration on this, I mean, Do they like it, not like
well,
it?
Well, Contra Chair Martin introduced a similar allocation of $18 million a couple of years ago. Council members were constantly saying, look, we can figure this out. Let us help you lead in these issues. But the coordination between the council members, who are the closest to the districts and the community leaders, and the administration, there's just so much resistance from the administration for some reason. I can imagine the mayor is just as frustrated. He's on a 6-year and nothing has really truly improved. In fact, it's gotten worse in some parts of the island where homelessness actually increased. And really what happened, it just moved from one part of the island to another part of the island. And so I'd imagine that they are looking at their situation and will be more open to this idea. At least that's my hope.
So where's it at on the budget list right now? Because you're in the middle of the budget hearings.
Yes, so it's in our budget bill. We just passed the budget on second reading. It's going to come back to committee. I will be adding those amendments that allow more flexibility for the funding for area council members to team up to have solutions for their particular district.
Now, I know that when the mayor was in here, at that time, I believe San Diego had just passed a law to allow people to sleep in their cars. And that, I know, is something that in East Honolulu, they said they're seeing issues at Sandy Beach where people are car camping. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's up in Haleiwa at the boat harbor over there. You know, what are you seeing in your district?
Gosh, we're seeing them sleeping everywhere, especially with the sit-lai bills that occurred in Waikiki and downtown and other areas surrounding there. We had huge increases in homeless coming from the town area to the Waianae coast, especially. At One'e'ele Beach Park, we had a big increase in people who were more drug addicts, mostly single men. They came from Waikiki. But in Waianae, we're really seeing everything. And what's different about it now, and that frustrates our community there, is we used to all know the homeless because there are family members that just couldn't make ends meet. You couldn't fit any more people in the house. They've used every square footage of the house, and people would always visit their family members and then eventually, you know, help them with either their addictions or they found an affordable home and they can come in. Now things are so out of control that we don't even know a lot of people. There's a lot more violence occurring as well, and the homeless never used to attack people or threaten neighbors, and now that's starting to occur.
Now, at the council meeting yesterday, I know you folks also advanced the vacation rental bills, and then you passed a third reading, the monster homes.
Mm-hmm.
What's your sense as to what's going to happen now with the administration? Because it sounded like DPP had some concerns about the way the bill was worded.
Well, they always have concerns, but what I'm trying to, as the zoning and housing chair, is to really change the entire culture of DPP. The entire culture of DPP has been very front-loaded in their plan checking, and so what has happened as a result is permits have been taking 1 to 2 years. We had people come and complain saying they had $30 million in work, small home family contractors saying they have $30 million in work and they have to lay people off because they can't get a permit. So their same concerns were saying, you know, the impervious surfaces, which basically says you have to keep at least 25% of your lot to allow the water to go through either gravel or porous concrete or grass, just to save our aquifer as well as prevent chemical runoff into the ocean. And they're saying, oh, that's going to make things take longer in the plan check. And what I'm trying to do is change our culture and make everything loaded in the next step, and that is the inspection period. That's where they can find the illegal vacation rental, people who are illegally converting their home. And that is where we need to focus all of our new monies to improve DPP in that area. And so I did meet with Roy Amia, the managing director of the city, and I said, look, what DPP is most concerned of was the number one thing that the anti-monster home people felt was needed. Because what was happening in Kaimuki and parts of Manoa and Palolo is entire lots were being concreted. People noticed that it seemed to be 5 to 10 degrees hotter. More electricity use for air conditioning. They found that more water and chemicals were running into their yards and that more water was going into the drain. And so that was so important to this bill. And so I'm glad that the council passed it by 9-0.
As far as, you know, whether the mayor signs it or not.
It's very rare for a mayor to veto a 9-0 bill. The concerns that DPP have, I really believe, and Governor Abercrombie said this in the questioning period. He was with the Anti-Monster Home Group. He said, look, all of these things we can fix in rules. We don't have to start a new bill. We can fix whatever concerns DPP has.
Okay, but you feel pretty good about the passage?
Yes, it was. I have to say that was probably one of the most complicated bills I had to oversee because the first reading was such a so much conflict. You literally had people yelling at each other, people from the Building Industry Association saying, look, we're not rich here, we're just trying to do family homes. And then you had the anti-monster home people that were very emotional, yelling at the developers saying that you guys are greedy. And so we came from a place that we're very far apart and no one thought we'd ever come together. And I'm just so proud and inspired by what happened. This was a bill that was brought forth to government by the people. And it was the people that realized, hey, we all want the same thing for our kids' future. And so both sides came together in such a valiant way. And it was amazing that we had almost complete consensus in the end.
Right, because it was affecting pretty much everybody's district.
Yes.
Ikaika's, mm-hmm. Trevor's, yours.
Yes, yes. But I have to say, when this issue first came to me, I was very much against putting any regulation because I come from areas near Waipahu, Ewa Beach, Kapolei, and even Waena, where we have very large multi-generational homes. And so I thought they were targeting people who are just trying to survive. And then Councilmember Ozawa showed me what he meant by a monster home. And I went to Kaimuki, and I'll never forget, it was a 20-bedroom home that was completely concreted over 20,000 square foot area that used to be just two tiny, you know, homes. And so then I understood that there is a difference between the multi-generational home that I know of in my culture and in most of Hawaii, actually, in these monster homes.
On vacation rentals, do you think there'll be a move to hold off until Tommy Waters takes office? Any sense on where that's going?
Well, I know that everyone would like to get this done as soon as possible, but I think we need another month on this particular issue. Some council members are still very far apart. There are a few council members that want to add a little bit more TVUs into the legislation. Some council members want to make sure that these vacation rentals have their own tax class. That's been taken out of the current version. And the anti-vacation rental community doesn't want anything. They want zero. And so we still are very far apart, but it is my hope that perhaps it will be when Tommy Waters' first vote, perhaps, will be probably one of the most controversial legislation that the city has ever taken up.
And do you have a sense as to what's going to happen with the organization? Because your name has been floated out there as possible council chair, Ikaika's.
Well, I will decline. I was chair, as you know, and vice chair and zoning chair all at the same time because we couldn't sit, Trevor or anyone in that seat. And so because I was vice chair, I automatically moved up to all these positions at the same time. And I just felt that because the city was so divided that we had to come together. And that's how we came up with this current structure where Ann Kobayashi wanted a budget, Joey wanted a budget, so I said, hey, why don't you take chair? And then I stepped down from chair and vice chair and kept zoning. And it's been actually quite wonderful. And I think what everyone's a little sad about is there's an uncertainty if Tommy's added, will that change the harmony that we have now? But I personally know Tommy, and we served on judiciary together and in the House of Representatives, and he really is just lovely, I have to say. And we canoe paddled in the same team together many years ago when we were both in shape. And so I think his personality will be welcomed.
Okay, but you don't see yourself taking over as chair?
No,
of the city council?
No, I think that I would like to continue my work on the homeless issue and the affordable housing issue, and whatever committee that ends up, that would be my preference. I think we're so close to coming up with some real tangent solutions that will last for many decades to come.
And what about the mayor's post? Because the mayor is going to be leaving office. His term is almost up. Are you interested in that position?
I'm definitely interested in that position. And I will be honest, I was expecting to perhaps retire from politics for a little bit. I've been doing this for quite some time, rather unexpectedly. I was just an average citizen that was upset at government, and I ran and unexpectedly won. But I have to say, we're just talking about the mayor not releasing funds that and continuing on plans that the council worked so hard on. I'm deeply concerned that we have spent or allocated over $40 million in Ala Moana, where multimillionaires look and see when there's parks and community areas that the city owns throughout the island that they don't even have a single parks keeper. Trash isn't even being picked up on a daily basis. There's some serious inequality issues, and since I represent an area where we have a large volume of low-income residents, that's so personal to me. And so I would love, not necessarily, I don't need the title, but I would love to be in that position to just pick up the phone and help someone that's been forgotten.
That was Councilmember Kimberly Pine, who sat down to talk story with us yesterday afternoon.